If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles tonight, we're going to be looking at portions from Psalm 18. I'm not going to read all 50 verses of the Psalm, but selected verses. Psalm 18. We begin at verse 1 and we'll read through verse 6. And then we'll skip down to verse 16. And then we'll skip down again to verse 30. And then again to verse 46. So, Psalm 18, verse 1. A Psalm of David. I love you, Lord. O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. Down to verse 16. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. Verse 46. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me, who saves me from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From violent men you rescued me. Therefore I will praise you among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Let's pray. Father, how thankful we are for this word out of David's personal experience, that though his life and his experiences were difficult, challenging, threatening, he found you to be his stability, his rock upon which he could stand. My prayer for us tonight, Lord, is that we may understand, that we may know, believe, and go forth to live, that nothing has changed. You are still the rock. And if we choose daily, intentionally, to build our lives upon you, we will experience what David did, deliverance and salvation and joy and thanksgiving and fulfillment in life. I pray that for those of us who are older, we've experienced much already, but I especially pray it for those who are here tonight who may be younger, that they will make sure that this is the path they walk. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's amazing to me how much has changed in the 77 years of my life. I can't believe how much has changed. I remember when we boys came to church in suits. Now we come in shorts. I remember when we 12-year-old boys played baseball on sand lots. Now 12-year-old boys are being recruited by coaches to play on teams that travel all over the country. I remember the first TVs. I can remember looking in store windows at those TVs. Now we can reach for our phone and see anything on that screen, anytime, about anything, anywhere. I remember when, though this I had no personal experience in this, I remember when women had a baby and stayed in the hospital for 5 days. And now they have a baby and come home maybe that very night or certainly the next day. I remember when fishing was done with a worm, a bobber, and a sinker. And nowadays we've got GPS and fish finders and depth finders and all kinds of lures to use. Just go to Cabela's. I remember when we sent astronauts into outer space, one at a time, in rockets that were lost after their flight. Nowadays, our rockets are made by a private company, SpaceX. And we send multiple people, men and women, to a space station that orbits Earth. How much has changed? Well, the Bible tells us that there is a God and He never changes. He's forever the same. So this God of David is the same God today as He was in David's day. And the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is the same God today that He was then. And the God in Jesus' day is the same God that we worship today. And the God of the 1950s is the same God that we worship today. Micah chapter 3, verse 6 says this, "I, the Lord, do not change." James, the brother of Jesus, in James chapter 1, verse 17, says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." So why is this significant? Why does this matter? Why are we talking about this tonight? So God doesn't change. Because we live in a world that's constantly changing. Constantly changing. And sometimes those changes can be, not always, but can be threatening. They shake the world that we've come to know. And it's comforting to know that in an ever-changing world, this always remains the same. God never changes. His faithfulness never changes. His love never changes. And as we're going to see tonight, there are many other things about God that do not change, that are a wonderful comfort if we remember them. Rocks, stones, they're often used in the Bible to represent something that's stable, something that is to be remembered, a monumental event, stability, something that will not change. And if you listened, and if you listen to some of the songs that we sang tonight, this theme of rock came through again and again. In Psalm 18, verse 2, "The Lord is my rock, my God is my rock." Verse 31, "Who is the rock except God?" Verse 46, "The Lord lives, praise be to my rock." Throughout Scripture, God is often referred to as our rock. Jesus tells us to build our lives upon the rock. So I'd like us to take a closer look at this image of God being unchangeable, like a rock that doesn't change. And we're going to do this by using an acronym. This will hopefully make it easier to remember. I'm sensitive to this, remembering things, because the older I get, the harder it is to remember things. So we're going to use R-O-C-K to look at the things about God, some of the things that do not change, okay? First, the R. God never changes in His redemption. In His redemption. "He is my shield, the horn of my salvation." Verse 2. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved. Verse 46, the Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior. God has not and will never change in his intent to save. He is intent upon saving people. Listen to this. We all know John 3:16. But the 17th verse is fantastic. For God so loved the world. There it is. God is intent upon saving the world. Now, don't get caught up in a theological concept about predestination. God is intent. He loves the world. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's God's intent for us. He loves us. He wants to save us. God did not, this is the 17th verse, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And God has never changed and will not change in the way that he will accomplish that redemption, that salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. It was not with perishable things like gold or silver that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That will never change. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, when we point this out to people, if you go away to college, young adults, if you go to high school students, and if in some way you get talking about religion and you say, Jesus is the Savior, you're probably going to hear something like, oh, there's many ways to God. Just be a good person. Be sincere in your life. Try to do good to others. There's many ways to God. No. God is intent upon saving people, and his way of salvation is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I know I need a Savior because of my sin. I believe that Jesus is that Savior. I will make a commitment to follow him. That is the way. Last year during football season, I went to a game of one of my grandsons, and I lost my phone. So early the next morning, I got up and I drove to that school on the other side of town. And I went right away to the door where everybody seemed to be going in. That's what surprised me. The kids were all parking in this parking lot, and they were all going in the same door. And there were so many kids at one time that they were lined up waiting to get through that double door. For security reasons, that high school said, you're not going to get in school unless you go through this door. You can't come in any other way through this door. They made a policy. Security, this is the door you come in when you come to school. Well, God has made a policy. Now, people might argue with God and say, I don't think that that's true. Some people may say that's not fair. Some people may say that doesn't make sense. But God made a policy. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I hope and pray, I trust, that all of us have put our faith in Jesus, that as we confessed earlier in that song, that Christ is our hope in life and death, Jesus alone. And I hope and pray that young or old, we're hanging on to that and that only, not our works, not our church attendance, not how much money we gave, but Jesus. God has not changed in his intent to save and in the way of salvation. So that's the R. O. God has not changed and will not change in his ordinances. Psalm 18, verse 21. I have kept the ways of the Lord. Verse 22. His laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. Verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. In Psalm 19, the very next psalm, if you look at verse 9, it says, the ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. Verse 11, by them, by the ordinance of the Lord, is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. God's way in living, God's way in worship, God's way in service, God's way in all things will never change. He's made that way clear. We've got the Ten Commandments. We've got the Old Testament. We've got the New Testament. We read what God's way is, what his ordinances are, what his laws are, what his desires are. And those things will never change. And we live in a world where human beings are constantly changing the laws. Marijuana used to be a controlled substance that was illegal. Now it's legal. California made a law that because the prisons were getting so filled, we got to do something about this. Okay, if you steal something $950 or less, it's only a misdemeanor. You don't go to jail. Thou shalt not steal. Since when was $950 an excusable amount of money to steal? Human beings are constantly changing the laws. God doesn't do that. You read his word, you find out his ways, what he wants, what his commandments are, the ways that we are to live, and he doesn't dilute them, he doesn't water them down, he doesn't dismiss them. He holds firm to them. Back in October, I went to my son's house, and he had some property. And he did some deer hunting on that property. And he had tree stands in some of the trees, three of them. They were going to move from that property to a new home, a different home. So I said, well, I'll take down those tree stands. I'm used to that. So I went to their property. I took down the first one, no problem. I went to the second one. I climbed up the tree. I stepped out on that tree stand. I got down and pushed the seat up to see what straps I had to undo, and the whole thing went out from under me. I had an experience with the law of gravity. Now, on the way down, I might have wished that the law of gravity didn't apply. I might have wanted the law of gravity not to apply. I might have demanded that the law of gravity not apply. But the law of gravity applied and I hit the ground. God does not change and he will not change in his ordinances. Find out what they are by reading his word. And then know this. God does not say, well, some of these, It's clear. Live by those ordinances and your pathway is guided through life successfully. So that's the O. R, God does not change in his redemption. God does not change in his ordinances. What about the C? God does not change in his call. Look at verse 13. The Lord thundered from heaven, the voice of the Most High resounded. Sometimes God gets our attention by screaming at us, shouting at us. Maybe that fall from that tree stand was some way that God was trying to get my attention. Sometimes God really gets loud and invasive when he tries to reveal his call to us. But there's another way that God calls. I want to point out to you, and you know this story, in 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah is fleeing from Israel. He thinks he's the only prophet left, and now they're trying to kill him. So he takes up a hiding place in a cave. And God says to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he says, well, God, I've really tried. But now they want to kill me. God says, go out to the entrance of the cave and stand there. I'm going to pass by you. And the passage of Scripture in chapter 18 says that there was wind, there was an earthquake, there was a fire. God wasn't in it. Loud. Attention getting. He wasn't there. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. That was God. Sometimes God shouts. Sometimes God whispers. But God always calls. You know, when we come to church on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, it's kind of a habit for us, and it's a habit that it's a good habit. But I think sometimes we forget that it's an opportunity to hear the voice of God. God's going to say something. He's going to say something to us. And if we're listening, we'll hear it. It might come as a shout. It might come in a heart-pounding way that it just grabs us. Or it might come through a pastor's voice and it gets you thinking. And God's favorite call is come. You've probably heard that of all the words in the Bible, the single word that's used most often is that word, come. In Jesus, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, very well known, Jesus said, come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. Come to me. In Revelation, the last book of the New Testament, in chapter 22, the last chapter, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take of the free gift of the water of life. Come. Remember when we had our babies and they were learning to walk and we'd get down on our haunches and come on, come on. Remember? So beautiful. Such a beautiful picture of God, our Father in heaven. Come on, Dave, come to me. Come to me. Why? Well, I want to force you to do this. Or I want to force you to do what you don't want to do. Or I want to take away your joy in life. And I want to make you do something that won't be happy and good at all. No way. Come to me. I want the best for you. I love you. I want you to experience my love. Come. God does not change in his desire to take us to himself in love. I've owned dogs all my life, and I've learned that the most important command you can teach a dog, if you don't teach them this, everything else is lost. Come. Come. If they won't come, you're going to get frustrated. You're probably sooner or later going to get angry. And the dog won't like that. You won't be happy. The dog won't be happy. God's favorite word is come. And if we say no, it frustrates God, our Father in heaven. And it won't be good for us. Don't be afraid to come to him. No matter what the call is, if you hear the still small voice of God calling you to something that scares you, it scares you because it's unknown. It's not bad. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to be bad for you. It's going to be good for you. Don't be afraid to come. Our God does not change in his redemption. Oh, God does not change in his ordinances. See, God does not change in his call. And finally, last, God does not change, K, in his kindness. Verse 50, David says he gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. The Apostle Paul, writing centuries later, puts it this way in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. In the coming ages, God wanted to show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. The incomparable riches of his grace. Incomparable. Incomparable. I did a little figuring this afternoon. How would you like 20 pounds of gold? I looked up on the internet what gold is worth an ounce right now. $3,340. Some of you probably know that because you've got gold. I don't have any. I had to look it up. $3,340 for an ounce of gold. If you had 20 pounds of gold, you know how much that's worth? $1,068,800. How would you like 20 pounds of gold? How does that compare? How does that compare? To what can we compare God's kindness? Would you take 20 pounds of gold over God's kindness? What does that kindness look like? One of the ways, the most important way, connected to the second, or the first, R, the first letter, redemption. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. This is how God showed his love to us, his loving kindness. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And that's not just after we die, live after you die. No, live now, here and now, so that we might live through him. This is love, loving kindness. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his one and only Son to pay the penalty for our sins. God will never change in his kindness. In the midst of the inevitable changes that come to us in life, the uncertainties that can sometimes bring, the anxiety that can sometimes bring, we have a God that does not change and will not change in his intention to save us, his desire to save us, and in his ability to save us through Jesus Christ and him alone. He will not change in his ordinances. As we read his word and find out his way and walk in it, count on the fact that he won't change his ordinances. When we walk in them, they will work. They will guide us in the right path. He will not change in his call, and his call is always, come. Let me embrace you. Come to me. And he will not change in his kindness. We can climb up into the lap of our Father in heaven and look up into his face with a childlike faith, look into his eyes, and say to him, Father, I come. I come. Let me close by telling you a story. 65 years ago, my grandfather began to take me to a place that we called Indian Hill. It was a wild place way back in the woods. To get there, you had to drive down a two-track road for about 2 miles. About three-quarters of the way back on this two-track, you came to some pine trees on the right-hand side of the little two-track road. They were about that tall. If you kept going, you went up a little rise, and then you came to a steep hill that went down. And on the bottom of the hill, on the left side, there was an open field that the DNR planted into corn every year. And on the right side were some more of those pine trees. If you kept going on that two-track, you would turn to the right, and it would go down a lane. And on both sides of that lane, the DNR had planted those pine trees about that tall. You came to a clearing. And it was in that clearing that we made our camp, our campfire, cooked our lunch. We even camped there in a tent and so forth a couple of times. To the right of the camp was a big open field, big open field. I suppose that's where the farmer used to farm. It was wide open, all kinds of grass, tall grass. And then there was this steep hill. And on top of the hill, it was all sand. And we would look for arrowheads in that sand and gravel. That's why we called it Indian Hill. Right in front of the camp, about 50 yards to the east, there was a river. And you had to get down to the river by going on a path. And the river was shallow and filled with rocks. And there was this one huge rock, about the size of a car, bigger. And it was around that rock that we kids, we grandsons, would play, swim, climb up on the rock, dive off, climb up on the rock, push each other off. Had a great time. My grandfather died in 1970. Our families grew and scattered. I went to college. It was the years where Vietnam was going on. I got drafted. I spent 2 years in the military. It was then that I answered God's call to come to Him in obedience and go to seminary. So I went to seminary. It was years, years before I went back to Indian Hill. 2012, I was serving a church in Iowa, and I came back with my wife to visit home. And I thought, I'm going to go to Indian Hill with my four grandsons. So I gathered them up. We got in the car and we drove out to Indian Hill. Everything was still there. The two-track road that went back in. But now, there were houses on that road. If you kept going on that road, it narrowed down to a really brushy, filled-in two-track. But you could still get down it. The pine trees that were on your right were now tall. Underneath, nothing grew. It was all pine needles. When you went down that steep hill, you could tell that a lot of traffic had been going down that hill. Big, powerful trucks, because it was all rutted, and man, you could hardly get down there. I did have a pickup, so we made it. When you get to the bottom, the field was still there, no corn in it, and the pines on the right were tall, pine needles under them. Nothing was growing under. When we turned the pines along the edge of that little track, they were all tall. It was like a tunnel of trees. When we got to the clearing, it was all overgrown. The big field was all overgrown. Indian Hill, as we called it, was all overgrown. No more sand on the top of it. I walked up there, and it's all covered with brush and trees. The river was still there. It was still a shallow river, still many rocks in the river. And that big rock was still in the same place. All those many years ago of my childhood memories, everything had changed. But not that rock. It was in the same place. All the water that hit it through those years, all the ice jams that came down, all the logs and the branches that came down and hit it, and it was still there. It made me feel so good. That despite all the change, that rock had not changed. Jesus said, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house, his life, upon a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation built upon the rock. Those of us who are older, we know the truth of that. Those of you, those few of you who are here tonight who are younger, I want to encourage you. You've got a lot of life ahead of you. Build your lives upon the solid foundation of this unchanging God who has a plan of redemption, who's made clear in His Word, His ordinances, His way. Walk in it. He's going to call. You're going to hear Him call many times in your life. Pay attention and don't fight it. Don't be afraid of Him. Don't be afraid to come to Him. And remember, He will not change in His kindness toward those who come to Him through faith in Jesus Christ. Build your life, everyone, upon the rock. Let's pray together. Father, how thankful we are that You have done everything for us that we need for life and happiness. Jesus, Your Son, said, "I did not come to kill, destroy, to condemn. I came to give You life, life to the full, full and meaningful life in this world, and then eternal life in the world to come. Thank You for doing that for us, and give us the wisdom not to fight You, not to buck You, not to resist You, but to listen to Your call and come, and to know that we come into the arms of a loving, kind, faithful God, our Father, who is in heaven." Amen. Let's stand together and sing this song, "The Solid Rock."